Welcome to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
My best friend, and I love you, and I love you.
Yes, I love 34 you. After the hour, Doug, Jen, Victoria, and Kara at the controls. 34 past means it's 26 before the new hour. We've got an opportunity to discuss a lot of things here. Let's see how creative we can be. Just thinking as I'm sitting in, I've said this before for those who are just joining us, I'm in the study of my cousin who passed away last week in Denver in his home. During the program, we're looking at a lot of memorabilia, looking at a lot of things. And I just said to the ladies something that just came to me last night. You wonder about the water, or you just wonder. It happens that Dougie Morton, my cousin's next-door neighbor, is the guy that owns the Broncos. His name is Pat Bowlen. And what made me think about this, I was just reading Dougie's obituary in the Denver paper, and he was the Denver Broncos' number one fan. Never, ever, ever missed a game.
Wow.
Never. And he and this guy, Bowlen, were friends. And Bowlen came down with the same thing about the same time he did. And so you wonder if it's
the coincidence,
so
right?
Yeah,
it's a
right,
rare thing.
He like literally lives next door here. And what is there about that that makes this seem so weird?
It just is there something environmental?
Yeah, that's what you wonder. You wonder about that. We've been talking also about a lot of the great shows. Victoria had a great time at the Coldplay event this past weekend. Diana Ross at the Hollywood Bowl on Friday. And something that's going on now, I don't know whether you noticed this, whether it's become the norm, but again, sort of sifting through, whenever I'm in a place that I'm not used to, I love reading the local newspaper to see what's going on. This has not happened in any place that I have been yet. Well, I'll take that back. It hasn't happened in a movie theater, but what's going on in these live performances, they're setting up these magnetometers or whatever they call them, the metal detectors for people
they're
to go
doing
through.
That at Disney all the time, too, by the way. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that our future? Is that what it's going to be?
Oh, for sure. 100%.
Everybody's going to have to go through these things. And maybe there's a way we can do like we did for TSA PreCheck.
Right. Where you don't have to be measured for radiation.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Perfect.
Yeah. I fixed that up. Social media. And what it means to all of us. We have a constant feed, Twitter at Good Day Show, and Facebook.com/Good Day, Instagram, a lot of great pictures. I think we posted some pictures, more and more pictures of what's going on. I had some wonderful pictures with Miles and me from the space shuttle that I think we'll post today probably. But to sort of tie social media to this concept of the what was the term that I used? Let me just go back to it here. Toxic men, toxic masculinity. So in Pakistan over the weekend, the number one female blogger was strangled to death in her home by her brother. Mm-hmm. She was killed for honor, he said. I had to do it, and I'm happy I did it. She was 26 years old, known online as Kandil Baloch. She started her career on what was the equivalent of American Idol in Pakistan, had a large social media following because of how well she did on that show, and she used it to speak out about women's issues because Pakistan and India are like in the Dark Ages when it comes to women and their rights. So it isn't just in the Muslim world, but in their religious tradition, or just the historical tradition there. The Pakistani religion is very conservative, and the family didn't like that she posted a lot of photos of herself, revealing clothing. Her brother referred to her
as a pig. She was getting westernized. She was using
Western
the internet to become Western.
Right. Yep.
And that's, this is, again, not to make this.
It's pretty common.
Hugely political, but this is commonplace. And you had a huge amount of celebrities who wouldn't go into North Carolina because the state was exercising their right at traditional bathrooms and all that stuff and whatever. It seems silly in the greater context of what's really going on in the world, but where's the outrage in other countries? I mean, at the same time, you have U2 saying they're not going to go to North Carolina, they're in Qatar performing. It's like these countries, I mean, this is why
it's an interesting reality, isn't it?
It hurts my head when I hear like Hillary Clinton, for example, talking about all these deals with her Clinton Foundation. People go, well, what difference does it make? Well, the difference is she's made deals with governments that don't support women, that kill women, that won't support gays. They throw them off of balconies when they, I mean, it's like, it's just, it's so sad, some of these atrocities that are happening in other places. And it's just, I don't know how we can be supportive of it, whether it's passive or not, is rough.
After this happened, it was trending on Twitter, you know, saying that the hashtag that we all killed this girl, and even though we didn't physically do it, just the people, especially in those countries, who aren't necessarily standing up or, you know, doing anything to make honor killings illegal. Like, if you're not doing anything about it, then you kind of enabled it to happen. But yeah, just the ideology that you could kill someone for wearing scandalous clothing, but like the idea that that's bad, but killing someone is not bad, is just crazy to me.
And the question is, then, do we get involved? Because then that's always the back and forth is, does America need to be the policeman of the planet? But, you know, you have these atrocities. It's hard. It's hard on your heart to decide where the priority, you know, what's the priority?
Okay, so I'm going to change. This is what your priority ought to be today, over and above anything else. A lesson in coffee ordering. There is an etiquette to this. Apparently, it's gone viral, as we hear in this important news report.
Grandin Village is known in the Roanoke Valley for its funky vibe and local shops, but now people around the world are learning it's a little different. Here's the proof. Words on a sandwich board outside Cup's coffee shop that went to the top of the Reddit online message board. People love the call by the store to use proper manners and upcharge if you don't say hello and please. Austin Sims says he wasn't trying to be famous, just a little funny.
And I decided, because, you know, I need to solve all the injustices in the world, to start charging more for people who didn't take the time to say hello and connect and realize that we're all people behind the counter.
$1.75 if you have good manners. $5, though, if you just make an order for a drink. Love that creativity and the message behind it. Austin says he wrote it on Sunday. By Monday, it was in a newspaper in England. And today, a whole bunch of cameras just started showing up.
So one small coffee is $5. One small coffee, please, is $3. Hi, I'd like a small coffee, please, is $1.75.
Love it. See, so that's good. Something wonderful. That's great.
Here's a note from somebody who listens named Claude Hotson, H-O-A-T-S-O-N. He heard me bemoaning the fact that the DARC Act, which gives Monsanto a leg up when it comes to food labeling and other companies of that ilk, he took exception. He's a farmer. He listens to my program. He says, I believe I have heard you comment about GMOs in our food supply. I have a few comments. I'm a farmer, too. I've seen the development of GMO seed and its adaptation into our modern farming practices. GMO seed has changed the way I farm, and there are many positive changes because of it. I take from your comments that you've decided we ought not to have GMOs in our food production. No, I didn't say that. I may feel that. What I said was we ought to label the food so that we can make a choice as to whether we want to eat the stuff or we don't want to eat the stuff. I choose not to. Everybody who's on my program, through their own initiative and figuring it out, not because I say so, has decided pretty much the same thing. So I know a lot of farmers, big grain farmers especially, who think the sun rises and sets on Monsanto. I don't happen to agree with that. I think Monsanto has choked out the life blood of a lot of small family farmers like me, and I don't like the way they do business. I don't like them. I don't like GMO foods. And so I have that prerogative to say so, as you have the prerogative to answer with these intelligent comments, Mr. Hotson. He goes on to write, there's some considerations you ought to think about. World population likely to increase enough in the future that we may not be able to feed it without adopting all possible production practices. Well, GMO technology may have allowed you as a farmer to decrease the use of some of the most dangerous pesticides, but also it has gotten into the idea that a farmer may decide, like I do, to use open pollinated seed. And in my circumstance, if I was next to a field of GMO corn would take over and I'd no longer have my pure seed. And I don't like that. Plus the fact that Monsanto wants to control the means of production for all seed in the world.
Also the harassment that they henchmen show up on farmers' property demanding money like the mafia used to do and still does in certain places. It's a lot more than you're being very nice about it.
But, I am. You know, well, this guy was nice enough to take the time to write.
Well, if he's going to continue to use Monsanto seed, then I hope that that never happens to him. I hope he doesn't encounter that type of
bullying. What I want is to have people, if he's fine with it, that's great. And he talks about feeding the population of the world. That's an old Monsanto ruse. You can get just as much out of open pollinated seed as you can out of Monsanto's treated seed. It may be harder or more difficult to raise it because of the weed factor, that sort of thing. But you know what? Before Monsanto, there were weeds. And we grew corn. And we all survived. The Indians grew corn, and they had this strange thing like they would grow the corn, and they would take a little wooden device, and they'd go through the rows, and they'd get the weeds out. Pretty amazing. Or they would burn them out. That's how the Indians used to do it. They used to burn the weeds, not the corn. So anyway, the bottom line is here, Mr. Hodson, thank you for your comments. I appreciate them, and really encourage you to continue to think and express yourself. That's what we're about here. 44 past the hour. Television report up next. What's on TV tonight? We'll find out in a moment.
Today on App Check, VidRhythm. Video sample yourself and your friends, then let VidRhythm mash it into a crazy video remix. Lame name, fantastic app. You'll love VidRhythm. It's a hit.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappyLandAudio.com. That's HappyLandAudio.com.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Everybody's heard of worker burnout, but have you ever heard of kid burnout? Happens a lot with very gifted children. Here's the social science of it. Case study, a gifted 15-year-old violinist on his way to a great career. Then one day he quits, never picks up a violin again. It's sort of like a midlife crisis at age 15. What happened?
Tell me and I'll kiss you.
When kids are young, they think like kids. Learning is fun. But when they hit puberty, we expect them to be more logical, more adult-like. As a result, many kids no longer enjoy those things which once gave them pleasure. What's the cheap psychological trick? Well, don't be so quick to push your kids to grow up. If you do, you may be pushing your child away from the things they love to do. Comments? Contact me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Welcome to American Biker Minute and this edition of...
I'm not going to do that again.
Episodes of...
Try and take a picture while I'm going 70. That's something I wouldn't do. That and ride behind a dump truck. I'm not going to do that again.
Today on American Biker Minute.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappyLandAudio.com. That's HappyLandAudio.com.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute.
I'm not going to do that again.
Do what?
Probably take my camera out and try and take a picture while I'm going 70. I see people doing it, but it's not something you ought to do. That and answering cell phones. I did take a picture while I was riding, but I've never tried to talk on my cell phone. But I've seen people do it. That's something I wouldn't do. That and ride behind a dump truck.
American Biker Minute.
Give those dump trucks some room.
Your passport to the open road on two wheels.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
He's the first player to return to the NBA after a kidney transplant, and his Memorial Day miracle shot helped lead the San Antonio Spurs to their first world title.
Into Sean Elliott. He fires the three.
So where is Sean Elliott now? After retiring in 2001, Sean worked for NBC, ABC, and ESPN before settling in as color commentator for local TV broadcast in San Antonio. The Spurs honored Sean in 2005 by retiring his jersey. Sean made headlines in 2012 when Sacramento Kings player DeMarcus Cousins confronted Sean after Sean criticized DeMarcus on air for trash-talking. Looks like Sean Elliott's on a mission to stop trash talking. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappyLandAudio.com. That's HappyLandAudio.com.
There was 57 channels and nothing on.
57 channels and nothing on. 57 channels and nothing on. Well now, home entertainment was my baby's wish, so I hopped into town for a satellite dish.
Let's get to top of my television stories at 47 after the hour. Ryan Philippe, is it Felipe or Philippe? Philippe. He's got a new series on the television USA Network. He's not going to start until next week. Debut moved by the shootings. If that's the case, the show will never get on.
Yeah,
because
kidding.
Every day there's a different shooting. But this is a takeoff on the movie that Mark Wahlberg was, Bradley Cooper was the star of that. There was another sniper, the movie that Wahlberg was in, but that was 7 or 8 years ago. So the show has been moved. The story is about a highly decorated ex-Marine sniper, and so why do we need this on TV at all would be my question. And I leave it to,
I was just thinking the same thing. Can't we be a little creative? Like, isn't there anything else? There is a reason why people went nuts for Downton Abbey, because it was so different, and it was just not the same kind of violent gun crap that we keep seeing over and over on TV.
The most and least stressed cities in America. There's a survey done
anywhere
by the website.
Anywhere I am is pretty stressed. I skew.
Do you?
I skew the polling.
Wallet Hub conducted an in-depth analysis to determine the most stressed cities and the least stressed cities. So I'm looking through this list and find a number of them. For example, number one on this. I suppose we could use the... Kara, use the
number
big voice
one.
Announcer. Yeah, all right. Jennifer, you can be the big voice announcer. All right.
Number one.
No. Start at number 10. Do I have to
number
teach you how to do
10.
This? Number 10 on the list of most stressed cities is Montgomery, Alabama.
What? Number 9.
Newark, New Jersey.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. Number 8.
New Orleans.
Number 7. Mm.
Columbus, Georgia.
Number 6.
Shreveport, Louisiana.
Hmm. Lots of Louisiana.
Wait, isn't
number
that where 5. The vampires are in True Blood? That's why.
Cleveland, yes. Ohio.
Especially this week. Number 4.
Memphis, Tennessee.
Number 3.
Birmingham, Alabama. This is
where do you get? Yeah, where do you get a big voice announcer who actually comments as she goes? Number 2.
Mobile, Alabama. Hello, Mobile.
Number 1.
Detroit, Michigan.
That makes a lot of sense.
That makes sense, but I don't understand all of the Alabama and Louisiana.